The Olympics have come and gone from Athens, lauded as a great success for the host country. But Greece did not achieve one key goal. It had hoped that all the international attention would prompt Britain to return to Greece the treasured Elgin marbles. 200 years ago, Lord Elgin, Britain's ambassador to the Ottoman Turks, had the sculpted figures removed from the Parthenon and shipped home. Now, a new biography sheds light on the crucial role of Lord Elgin's wife, Mary Nisbet. Susan Nagel is the author of The Mistress of the Elgin Marbles, and she joins us now from our New York studio. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
So essentially, these marbles simply would never have been removed and shipped to Britain had Lord Elgin not married Mary Nisbet. Is that right?
That is right. Mary Nisbet was the life force behind the project. She had the money to pay the craftsmen and the riggers and the carters and all of the people who needed to get the marbles down from the Acropolis and onto the ships. She was quite an archaeologist in her own right. She was very well educated, and she became a great fan of, you know, preserving the marbles.
And she and her husband believed they were doing the art world a favor, did they not? Because you write that at that time, the Acropolis was a bit of a slum.
The Acropolis was a slum, and people were walking off with pieces of sculpture. They were hacking them off. They were carving their names in the columns. The Parthenon itself had imploded 100 years earlier. It had been used as a powder magazine, and it had been shelled, and it just blew up. So what we see today has been vastly reconstructed, and it didn't look anything like it does today.
So tell me more about Mary Nisbet. She was just 21 years old when they arrived in Constantinople. She was 5 months pregnant and living a grueling schedule, entertaining so many important people in this city. She was vivacious, she was sensual, and now transplanted to this very conservative society. It sounds like it could have been a disaster.
Well, luckily for us, she was very intelligent. So she was a very curious woman, and she dressed as a boy to sneak into the seraglio and watch her husband present his papers to the Grand Vizier. And there was this giant procession and all of the men in their finery. And she and her maid were dressed as men, and they snuck into the presentation. And of course, she thought she wouldn't get caught, but she did. Instead of getting her head lopped off, she was given presents, and that seemed to follow her wherever she went. She would do outrageous things, and then she would be loved for it instead of getting in trouble. She had an outrageous sense of humor and was irresistible, and wherever she went, she did good. She brought the smallpox vaccination to the Middle East and vaccinated a lot of the children there, saving lives. And so the Sultan and his mother, the Valida Sultana, who actually owned the Acropolis, were just crazy about her.
She liked going a lot of places that women in that society were not allowed to go.
Absolutely. She went wherever they told her she couldn't go.
For example, a harem at one point. You write she went there to observe its rituals.
She was the first Westerner invited inside the harem. The Valida Sultana was a sacred person and was not allowed to associate with anybody Western, but she had heard about Mary and she had observed her son watching Mary, and she wanted to meet Mary. So she invited her to the harem, and the first thing that happened when Mary got there was, of course, she found out that there was a lot of intrigue in the harem and gossip, and they looked at her, the women, and said, "We hear you and your husband are quite sexy with each other." And she thought that was hilarious that gossip about her had spread inside the harem.
Well, she and her husband were they not? And she wrote about this in letters home.
Well, they were so passionate, and of course, the kind of passion that can begin so wonderfully often ends disastrously, and that's what happened in their marriage.
She had a striking impact on so many men. You write that Napoleon once courted her, and while she was pregnant, no less.
Napoleon fell in love with Mary, but he could not see her privately because her husband was his prisoner, and that would have been a public relations disaster.
And this was at a time when France and Britain were rallying up for war, and they were passing through France, and that's how he was captured?
Exactly.
At some point, this marriage of Mary Nisbet to Count Elgin hit hard times. They landed in divorce court. It was the event of the year for the tabloids, I suppose, and this divorce also had a crucial effect on the fate of the Elgin sculptures.
Well, yes, it began with a letter. In those days, if you were having any kind of romantic ideas about somebody else, you would send a letter addressed to the lady's servant. So Mary and Elgin were reunited and living at Broome Hall back in Scotland after he was allowed to go home on parole. And one day a letter arrived addressed to M. Elgin. And as Elgin had lived in France, where they called him Milord, he opened this badly written letter and found out that it was in fact a love letter to his wife from his best friend.
They ended up divorced, and this had a crucial effect on the fate of the Elgin Marbles. How was that?
Because Mary had all of the money, and he couldn't afford to keep them. So he had to sell them to the British government.
So in researching this book, did you yourself come to any conclusion on whether you think the Elgin Marbles should be returned to Greece?
I think it's hard in our generation to judge the morality of people in those times, but I know for certain that legally they were absolutely entitled to those marbles. They didn't do anything incorrect at the time.
Do you think Britain will ever return them?
Stay tuned.
Susan Nagel is the author of Mistress of the Elgin Marbles, a biography of Mary Nisbet, Countess of Elgin. Thank you so much.
Thank you.